directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Montreal, you're listening to Easy Sonic Living on CKUT. We just heard Nutbush City Limits by the late, great Tina Turner. That song's about her hometown of Nutbush, Tennessee. And we're also going to hear a couple of other songs that she wrote. She wrote that one. She also wrote Sweet Rhode Island Red, which we're going to listen to, which has a kind of some questionable lyrics, but I mean, I thought it's a nice homage to Tina Turner. So let's play it because it's pretty funky. And also, we're also going to listen to another tune that she also wrote, which was Sexy Ida. So yeah, she was not only was she an amazing singer, an amazing performer, she also wrote some incredible tunes, amazing songwriter. So we're going to dive into that for a second. And then after that, we're going to listen to another amazing woman that we all know, which is Louise Burns from CKUT. She just retired, and after many, 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 many years of service. And so she put together a really cool audio program called Letter to Kiss. We're going to listen to that. And she's also done a couple of interviews, so we're going to intersperse those with some music towards the end. So sit back, relax, enjoy this amazing homage to incredible women who have changed our lives for the better. Easy Sonic Living, CKUT 90.3. Bye.
Found in Louisiana. She walks just like a cat. Hypnotic eyes and a stacked up love sack. She not only wants your love, she wants your life.
Sales and admit person at CKUT 90.3 FM.
And I started not in a full-time capacity, but in 1991, when the station was in the basement of the Shatner building. My position is sales, but for me, advertising is like a direct way of community outreach. It's what we do is we like partner with all the kind of emerging local bands and the festivals that are happening in the city and all the kind of community grassroots initiatives and the activist events. So I really see it as a way of the station connecting to the greater Montreal area.
I always said that the main criteria for working at the station is just wanting to make cool things happen.
Yeah.
And the amount of activity you create equals how successful you are.
Right, right.
So, like, in terms of my position, you know, I was able to, like, go into all these different communities, do, like, live broadcasts, and then, you know, I got exposed to so many things I had never been exposed to, and brought in, you know, bring in these communities more and more. And then for McGill students and for other people, for some people, that's the education. It's not so much, you know, their one, you know, hip-hop show that they do on this day. It's seeing all the other ideas and projects and what's going on, you know. Pandemic sort of reminded us, because so many people have gotten into podcasting, but again, that's in your basement or in your bedroom, right, or whatever. It's a, right, it's a very solitary, in your closet.
Yeah.
People were in the closet because they, yeah, couldn't be in studios and they needed the soundproofing.
Yeah.
So it, I love the content. I'm all, yeah, about podcasting, but the, yeah, community part, like the,
is kind of not as,
it's not there.
Yeah.
And so we can't just, like, you know, the concern about just having all these different kind of like tunnels or like bubbles.
Yeah.
Where, which don't bump into each other ever, yeah, again, would be a real loss. We love underground music. You know, we, yeah, love, yeah, bands' first time yeah, performances and, yeah, those mistakes. Like, we love,
yeah,
that stuff. You,
yeah,
know? And we love raw, the, yeah, talent emerging and,
yeah, yeah,
you know, people experimenting and
so fun
and, yeah, and just whatever people are presenting, you know, they're generally quite passionate about,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so that's like, there's the collector mentality, but there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of musicians here, there's, yeah, a lot of crate diggers as to the, you know,
it,
like,
very
people
much
are just,
feels like an artistic hub,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, because predominantly it's music programming.
Yeah, yeah.
Largely because it takes a lot of time.
Yeah,
if you,
yeah,
know, if you notice.
Yeah.
You do spoken word programming,
yeah,
in terms of preparing it. But there's a lot of, there's a hefty percentage of spoken word programming,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
But, and it, a lot of people who have been at the station for a long time, like,
yeah,
a lot of programmers. So,
yeah,
it's just become part of their identity and in their blood.
Yeah.
I've been at the station for going on my 31st year, if I count properly. And I started when the station was in the basement of the Shatner building. And I started on one of those employment grants. I was a single parent at the time and really needing to get a paycheck in on a little bit of stability in my life.
Yeah.
So I started like helping out sort of administratively. And once you're at the station, most of us end up doing everything.
Yeah.
The job.
Yeah.
You just, you know, if there's dead air, somebody runs down, throws a record on, you know, like you're,
yeah,
constantly,
yeah,
improvising. And so it's very quick to start learning all the different facets of the station.
Yeah.
And part of that was also either voicing ads or helping out in making ads.
Yeah.
And the person who was doing that job left, and so I applied for it. I had no idea of myself as a salesperson at all, but I did have a hunger,
yeah,
to make it work because I enjoyed the kind of vibrancy and diversity and chaos,
yeah,
of working at CKUT. And it did provide very much that you could create your own job sort of,
yeah,
situation.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to assert yourself, put,
yeah,
your foot down, especially,
yeah,
in my position. I was,
I'm sure,
sales. I had to get people, like,
yeah,
big hip-hop promoters,
right, yeah,
you know, to pay me, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
so I definitely had to. But other times you really know that you are going to do way better with a much more understanding,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
humor, charm,
sure, yeah,
care,
yeah,
like, you know.
But I think on some level also, like, your job requires some sort of understanding of human psychology too, because you're dealing with so many different people every day.
Yeah, for,
yeah,
sure,
yeah,
for sure,
yeah,
for sure,
which is really cool because it's not something you'd expect, like,
no,
that's not what you were going into at all.
No, no. I mean, and the other part of it that kept me interested,
yeah,
was I had to make something all the time,
yeah, yeah,
and which was an ad,
yeah.
And it had to be, you know, right for what I was promoting. And sometimes,
right,
it was like a lecture series at McGill, and sometimes,
right,
it was like a metal show, you,
yeah,
know?
Yeah, and so, the vibe has to be different,
yeah,
for
you
each,
can't,
yeah,
you know. And sometimes it could be super out of box, insane,
yeah,
stuff. And sometimes,
yeah,
it had to be very tight
and formal.
And formal, and too,
yeah,
like, you know, especially the bigger the money.
Yeah.
Like if I'm dealing with the bigger promoters, like a Vencore or whatever, or,
yeah,
you know, the more in the box it becomes, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'd spend a lot of time listening,
yeah,
to what other producers were doing,
yeah,
and stealing their trick.
Yeah.
Know? So,
yeah.
And, but that was,
but
that was
part
really
of,
fun.
And, yeah, but it's also part of the learning too,
yeah,
is like no one really teaches you how to be good at the,
well,
thing.
I'm not of that culture.
Right,
like,
exactly.
I'm not, you know, I'm not a reggae DJ.
No.
So,
you
but
kind
I
of
have to do an ad. for an event.
Feels
so
like improvisation almost.
Yeah, I gotta pull out the font.
On a personal level, I was a single parent that needed a job. Well, had been involved in community radio, had been involved in the traditional music industry, working at a record label, and so very like attracted to sound and music and communication. And so I came to the station on a grant, and a getting single parents back to the workplace kind of grant, and was willing to do whatever needed to be done, and had no envision of myself as a salesperson. Like, it was just not, or as a businessy person. And saw so much creative energy and so many people involved in the kind of like content creating, wacky ideas creating, and knew that the place needed a backbone, you know, that kept the finances in place and basically laid a solid foundation for everybody to leap off of, you know.
So the tension between idealistic aspiration, programming, and paying the bills,
yeah,
can be a real problem.
Yeah.
And for 31 years, it's a constant conversation.
Yeah.
And I chose to approach it as community outreach. So basically trying to understand the audiences of the individual radio shows and who would benefit from having their business or event or whatever it was, wrote it on the radio. So to try, you know, to make an effective, mutually beneficial arrangement rather than just go after the money, you know? In youth, as being sort of an independent woman,
right,
I had a very strong sense of fight.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Fight for something. Feminism and. Yeah.
Some people think little girls should be seen and not heard, but I think. Oh, bondage! Up yours! 1, 2, 3, 4!
And, you know, the punk rock music and.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, identity, and was sort of constantly trying to. Deal with me kind of attitude, sort of thing, to affirm my identity. And then I began to learn from not being myself in a way, or putting myself aside and absorbing
other people
and not expecting everybody to be like me.
Okay, so with me in the studio, very special guest, very special occasion, I have with me Louise Burns. Hello, Louise.
Ready to make out, Alex?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Reason why we have Louise in the studio today is that we have a three-part piece that Louise has put together called Kiss? Letter to Kiss?
Yeah, why not?
Letter to Kiss. And I guess there's kind of a interesting preamble as to what the deal is with this piece, so I'll let Louise give it. From what I understand, this goes back a number of years.
It goes back to 1983, this particular copyright infringement we were going to launch.
Yeah.
When I was working at Polygram Records, and a letter came to the Kiss fan club that was in a brown manila envelope, nice and chunky. And it was...
We're talking about Kiss the Rock Band.
Talking about Kiss the Rock Band. Yeah. And it was marked personal and confidential. And and I sort of looked at it for a long time and said, well, I don't know how to send something to the KISS fan club, so I'll just open it up. So, of course, I did. And it was a loose leaf letter, about 12 pages long, from this woman from Barrie, Ontario. And it also contained religious comics, those little small, like...
Jack Chick.
Yeah. Actually, Basil Wolverton did some religious comic work as well.
Okay.
So they're kind of interesting to pick up if you ever find them. And there are stuff like... Brainwashed and the Mad Machine. And anyway, I lugged this thing around with me from one apartment to another for, 22 years now?
Yeah. I'm surprised it survived.
Well, the envelope's looking a little ratty.
I bet.
And then decided I had to do something with it, so I did.
So just so the listeners, I guess if there's any sort of diehard CKUT listeners out there, there's some familiar... some familiar CKUT voices, I guess, on this. Does your voice appear on this?
No, my voice does not appear on this.
No, so you're the, you're behind the board, producer.
Yes.
Director of the
yes.
thing. But definitely Fortner Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
And Detroit Burns. Anyhow, so, let's...
And there's Tia Ouellette and Louisa Sage, who are the voices of Diane D.
Right. Diane D is the protagonist in this story. Yeah, so let's hear it.
Okay.
A letter to KISS on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
November 18th, 1983. Dear KISS, hello, how are you guys? I'm Diane D from Barrie, Ontario, Canada. I'm writing this letter because I love you. I don't love you the way I used to love you, but I love you. When I was 11 or so, I was in the KISS Army. It's hard to remember how long you guys have been in the business, but I'm almost 18 and a half now. I was a real fanatic about you. Things have changed, and I'll tell you why. No, it's not the fact that you're without makeup or anything like that. I'll tell you about myself. First of all, I come from a family where my life wasn't so pleasant, and the kids at school, when I was knee-high to a grasshopper, would make fun of me, push me around, etc., because I was different. I went through being called four eyes, ugly, stupid, etc., and to top it all off, I was a klutz. I wasn't stupid. I was cute. I couldn't help it if I wore glasses and tripped around, but I grew up believing what I heard.
I wasn't a rotten kid, just different. However, I found it hard to convince myself since I was constantly hearing the opposite. Naturally, I ended up paranoid with a huge inferiority complex. I had lived for 9 years in an army base and 4 years in a dumpy village called Angus, called by some folks Little Chicago. When I was 13, my parents moved to a little city 90 miles north of Toronto called Barrie. I'd never lived in a city, and being the lonely square that I was, I decided to continue on with my smoking. At 13, having sex for the first time, thought I was in love. Start smoking up and drinking at 14 and a half and fit in. For some reason, I'd matured extremely fast, so I hung around people who were older than me and drank and smoked up with them as well as my own age group. Somehow, I still felt like I didn't belong. I was very intelligent, wise, worldly-wise, for my age. A poet, an artist, and a musician.
I played flute in grade 9 and practically bluffed my way through it because I couldn't read music. Still can't. I carried on playing till March of this year when I had to sell it. I had been training myself vocally since I was about 7 or 8. When at 14, I was lonely. All I had was my art, poems, and music. Finally, I ended up an alcoholic and drug addict who swore a lot. And had a bad name because I was looking for love that was nowhere to be found. And with severe depression. At 15 and a half, I had a nervous breakdown.
At 15 and a half, I had a nervous breakdown. I was in the hospital for 5.5 weeks, then a foster home, then a Browndale home, home for emotionally disturbed children. And at 16, left for home again. Since I was 15. I was looking for the answer.
I got deep into my unconscious mind. Psychiatrists didn't help, to find the reasons why I was so messed up. I did this for 2 years, tried to figure out why at 15 and a half I was walking around so depressed that I felt like a walking dead person. To explain how I felt, I will include a poem here that I wrote 1.5 years ago.
I don't feel that I belong. They shut me out of their world. They just don't have time for me. I feel so empty deep inside. I just can't stand it. Their "you're just a kid" attitude. I want to leave, to hide away, high up in the attitudes. No one wants me. I'm lost. Can't fight this feeling in my guts. Emotion outlet has been tossed. I'm a zombie in this rut. Tears won't descend from my cloud. Feelings can't escape. Depression is so strong. I can only whimper a silent agony. No one needs me. No one cares. I may as well just fade in gloom, but I can't leave. I have nowhere to go except my barren room. Problems when I leave the sky that I live in every day, they stifle a natural permanent high. I'm waiting for a better way. I'm an alien in a world of strangers. I am a stranger in a world of aliens. I'm a madrigal, an incomplete madrigal.
Now, I wrote that 1.5 years ago, and it describes perfectly how I felt when I was 15 and a half.
All through my life, I was a big mess. When I was little, I had extreme fear, and I had nightmares all my life.
I knew there was an answer, so I tried to find happiness, security, and fun, and escape, and the answer through drugs, smokes, booze, sex, money, looking good by worldly standards, and the occult. I grew interested in black magic and astrology, and ended up with psychic powers. From Satan, of course, that's the only way to get them. I wanted to join a satanic cult, but an angel of God kept holding me back.
I was 12 or 11. I got into idolizing rock bands. I was a Paul Stanley fan for sure. I would have done anything to meet you, Paul. Couldn't hold a job. My room was red and black. Black door, red and black wallpaper, carpet, curtains, red burgundy dresser, etc. And I thought going to hell meant lots of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was a nervous wreck, lonely, insecure, and thought that I was crazy when the walls were coming in on me and I was seeing old black and white movies on my black door, and I freaked out with candles, had a strange attraction to them.
Leave your kids behind, come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the mind. Come along if you care, come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your...
Often and wanted nothing more than to be happy rocking on, having sex, doing dope and booze, and sleeping my life away. I was a mess, to say the least. I loved doing nude photos, and I was kinky, bisexual as well. Satan had me through the ringer, till I finally got fed up with the whole idea of life and trying to live it when I constantly tried to find the answers. Now, you are probably wondering, what is this chick telling us her life story for, right? Well, even if you're not wondering, I'm going to give you the reasons.
This is Red at CKUT.
It's on.
CKUT 90.3.
This is Kyle. What? 90.3.
Now, you're probably wondering, what is this chick telling us her life story for, right? Well, even if you're not wondering, I'm going to give you the reasons.
Why, I've heard people say, why is this tree bent? Why, they don't have God enough to know that's the way that it was meant. Why is this little baby born all twisted and out of shape? We're not to question what he does, 'cause God makes no mistakes.
I'm writing to tell you some things that you have to know if you're going to survive. You must come to the realization that what you are doing is going to destroy you. There are a number of people in this world that have made pacts with Satan. They think that they're in it for life and that there is no hope for them. Satan offers them sex, lots of money, fame, drugs, and lots of fun. Well, I know from experience and seeing examples of other messed up people who are ruined by Satan that it's a great big counterfeit lie from the father of lies.
Satan is so full of lies,
there is no truth in him. None.
Everything he has to offer crumbles in the dust, including riches. People get rich and their money piles up and up.
Take a deep tank, take a deep tank. The money goes into my piggy bank.
And then they die without salvation and go straight to hell.
Some die from drug overdoses and accidents.
Satan sits back and laughs at them. He couldn't care less. He's been dragging people to the pit of hell. Hell was created for the devil and his angels, and he's taking men with him.
Oh, it's so
Satan's lies are including, number one,
hell is sex and drugs and rock and roll.
When the truth is, hell is eternal agony worse than any earthly pain, live burning in volcanic lava eternally.
I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you fire.
Number two.
Hey, man, I'm an okay person. I just do this for a living. God doesn't mind. I'll make it to heaven.
When the truth is,
everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. God has made man perfect, and man was made in the image and likeness of God.
Genesis 5, 1 plus 2.
God loved man, and still does, and didn't want man to die, spiritually. For with the spiritual death comes sin. Adam and Eve sinned the moment they disobeyed God and continued to have sin within them.
With sin comes disharmony, causing great pain. God's divine intention was that man should dwell in a domain where they had harmony with God, harmony with self, and harmony with nature.
But Satan came on the scene with deception, and man fell for it. God didn't create pain, frustration, etc. Satan did. Satan then, and still does, own the whole world and everything and everyone in it, unless you're Christian and saved. He's out to destroy everyone with his cruel, conniving deceptions to this day. So many rock stars thought that drugs were cool and ended up dead and unsaved. didn't, most anyway, know that Satan did it to them.
Satan knows he's doomed, but wants to take man with him. Why? Because Satan hates God and would do anything to destroy God's creation, especially the crown of God's creation, beloved man. Why does he hate God?
You're listening to A Letter to Kiss, piece by Louise Burns. As we said earlier, Louise worked for PolyGram Records in the early 80s and received this letter. This is a real letter. This woman is out there in the world somewhere, hopefully. Anyone knows her, let us know. We're curious as all hell. So, we're going to continue with part three of Letter to Kiss and lots of more music too on If You've Got Ears here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Why does he hate God? Satan used to be Lucifer, the appointed cherub. He was a big cheese in heaven's angels. He was beautiful.
So too beautiful.
So beautiful that music was built in him. Lucifer let everything go to his head. He wanted to be like the Most High. In other words, God's created Lucifer wanted to be God.
Mind guitar, the ducks with a bun. They all come out to groove about, be nice and have fun and listen.
Think Satan can do miraculous things? Well, he can only make phony replicas of God's creation, and God has the best to offer instead. Plus, he lies.
If you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, if you don't want to get in trouble, you better let that lie alone.
John 8:44.
And Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth, because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies."
Point 45.
"But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me."
So guys, anything he offers you is a lie. God has gifts better than all the gold, dope, sexual misuse, etc. that Satan's world can ever offer.
Everyone is spiritually dead unless they have Jesus as Lord and Savior. They think they're happy. They are rebellious and they want to keep their own religions and live hell on earth before the final countdown for a one-way ticket to hell.
I know, because I've been through hell on earth and I've been where I am now, heaven on earth. I prefer to stay right here in peace, love, joy, prosperity, many gifts, perfect gifts, and living in the will of God so that everything I do will be good for me and the things I ask for I receive. Sometimes I get things I didn't even pray for. I'm a miracle pianist, composer, evangelist.
I'd written lyrics for a year, but never played piano or composed, let alone evangelized through my testimony and music, until August 29th of this year. I've written 12 pieces, and I've never done it before I had him as Lord instead of Satan. I wanted to play for years, but never could, and I was heartbroken that I couldn't and failed. The Lord gave me my gifts, gifts that Satan could never give. So I've lived on both sides of the fence. There are only two sides. There's no halfway in between. You're either Christian or you're doomed eternally.
Number 3, lie.
"But I must be doomed. There is no hope for me. I made a pact with Satan. He says he'll kill me if I don't stick with it. He says there is no way out."
Or,
"I'm too much of a sinner."
Or,
"I'm not a sinner."
Or,
"There is no Satan, no Jesus, God the Father, nor the Holy Spirit. No heaven, no hell. You die, you're buried, and that's that."
Transcendence is the path to belief
and fulfillment.
I've had a beautiful life here so far as a Christian, and a rotten life when I was secular. I knew the spiritual realm, only the satanic spiritual realm before. Astrology, palmistry, I was psychic, into astral projections. I was asleep and tried to wake up, and I felt like I was going to die because I couldn't wake up, and I felt two hands around my waist holding me down when I was half asleep, half awake, and scared stiff. If Satan had gotten me out of my body, he'd have done a permanent number on me. But the Lord saved me again, and I was into yoga, etc.
Now I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, and Satan flees from me. The infilling of the Holy Spirit is something given only if you are saved. As an infilled Christian, Satan would have to flee from you if you use the name of Jesus too. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Both Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit and Satan exist, though Satan would like you to believe otherwise. Satan hates you, but God loves you, even though you serve Satan if you're not glorifying self-Satan.
We at war.
The battle, spiritual warfare is pain, but I always win because God is within me.
We at war.
With the things you guys do, you are in trouble, but there is a way out because God loves you.
God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
Paul, Gene, Chris, Ace. Tell Jesus you want to have eternal life and happiness, that you're sorry for all of your sins. Accept him into your hearts and lead the life he wants you to lead. It's worth it. I know where you're coming from, and what God has to offer is even better. Jesus paid the price for your sins and has the gift of eternal life for you. Please come, go free with me, and be truly happy forever. I love you guys, and this is why I'm writing to you.
You need love, I need love. The whole world needs plenty of love.
I was doomed, but after I was saved. He even healed me of my many physical problems, including a rare muscular disease that caused degenerations of muscular tissue and lots of pain. I don't wear glasses anymore either. I'm psychologically healed, and I'm in the Bethel Bible Teachers and Leaders course. I'm a youth group leader in training, and I play at the Christian Coffee House sometimes. My songs go over well.
I'm healthy for the first time in my life, and I have victory over Satan. The Lord and I want you guys to have victory too.
Please believe. It is worth it. It is beautiful, and it's life.
If he can make a miracle of me, he can make a miracle of you guys too.
Satan will do anything to keep you boys from believing.
Please don't listen to Satan's lies. I did, and I always paid for it, with pain.
Please repent and turn from your sins, and God bless you.
Love from the Lord and me.
Well, there you have it. Thank you, Louise Burns, for being that backbone that CKUT has always needed. I hope you have an amazing retirement after like over 30 years of service. And thank you, Tina Turner, for just, you know, all the amazing tracks you've laid down over the years. So take care, have a good couple weeks, and see you again in 2 weeks. This is Easy Sonic Living on CKUT 90.3.
And we're going to take the beginning of this song, and we're going to do it, you say, easy. But then we're going to do the finish. Rough. It's the way we do. Proud Mary. Rolling. Rolling on a river. One more again. Silly rolling.
Rolling.
Rolling. Rolling on a river. Listen. I left a good job in the city.
Working for the man every night and day. But I never lost one minute of sleep. Then I was worried about the way the thing might have been. Big wheel keep on turning.
Proud Mary keep on burning. And we're rolling.
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 Rolling low.
You are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. It is 8 p.m. Country Classics Hour is back. That definitely was not the Bluegrass Ramblings program, but it was very interesting, though, and it was nice to end with a pretty good Ike and Tina tune. I really like that version of Proud Mary. So my name is Costas Zafiropoulos. This is CKUT. As I mentioned, you can reach me right here in the studio at 514-448-4013, 514-448-4013. As usual, box of 45s behind me, a couple of tracks lined up, and everything else we'll make up as we go along. So Gary Hopper and Wayne Mack coming up, and everything else will be made up as we go along. CKUT 90.3, I hope you enjoy the program.
thought you always loved me. I guess that I was wrong. So I'll be leaving, dear. I guess I don't belong. I know it is another, but why isn't it me? I know that